and good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. We are back for hour number two of the Now program on this Wednesday, November the 1st, 2017, All Saints Day, 13 minutes past the hour, talking with Tanner Hale about everything going on in the political world, local and national. And don't forget, live election coverage here on WWDH Radio next Tuesday, November the 7th, from 7:10 p.m. until the election is over. Coverage of local races. We will not leave the air that night until they are all called. Charlie Evers, Sean Kraft, myself in studio, Linda Sims at Republican and Democratic headquarters, and Terry Tackett at the Board of Elections. Next Tuesday, November the 7th, 7:10 until it's all over. Tanner, we were talking about medical marijuana. You said you felt you'd like to see it come to the East End. It's going to come to one of these counties. And if we say no, it's going to go to another county. What will stop a Marion person from driving to another county to buy the marijuana?
You know, you hear that kind of logic be waged, and I don't think it's an invalid question, but it's the same way of, for example, in the city of Columbus, they've made it to where instead of being 18 to buy tobacco, now you have to be 21. And could an 18, 19, 20-year-old still get tobacco? Absolutely. But it's about the access. It's about making it harder for sometimes even the most, you know, those that are the most troubled and the most vulnerable from having access to something that could be even more harmful to recovery or ability to function in a ever-moving community. And that's what really I'm chiefly concerned with, is I'm afraid that they're going to stick the dispensary in a place that really it shouldn't belong. I know for a fact that they've wanted to, back a couple years ago, they wanted to put dispensaries, like five or six of them, in Marion. And we're already a city that faces a lot of heat for drug overdoses and a continuing drug problem, and I don't want to do anything to amplify that. So if it went to a different county, then would some Marion citizens still drive? Oh yeah, absolutely, but not as many.
But isn't this medical? I mean, it's not recreational. You'd have to have a prescription for it. So if it's on, if it's in a depressed part of town, or if it's on the east side, unless you had a prescription, you couldn't get it anyway.
And that's absolutely correct. But basically, and a lot of the stuff that is being kinked out about how you can obtain that prescription is still coming underway. Places like California and Colorado, all you basically have to do is say you have a migraine, and you can get a prescription for medical marijuana. And that's what Ohio is generally trying to avoid. So overall, we're basically acknowledging that people that shouldn't have access to this kind of, you know, this kind of prescription could still get their hands on it. And that's chiefly what a lot of the people down in Columbus are trying to decipher through and try to figure out sensible solutions. But this isn't going to happen overnight. We don't anticipate that this could happen for at least 2, 3, 4 years, at least.
Well, let me bring this up, because I think something you said was important. You said you were fearful because of it would be in a lower economic part of town. Now, let's say this. Let's say that a doctor in Marion prescribes medical marijuana for a person who's having seizures or dealing with cancer or whatever it may be. Now, if we pass up the opportunity to have it here, to get that prescription filled, they would have to drive to another county, a lower economic person, to get that prescription filled. Now, is that a good thing?
Well, and this is why I think it'd be a good idea to put it on the east side of town, and in a place that's more accessible by everybody, those that are reliant to be able to have medical marijuana to deal with whatever that they may be going through, whether it could be anxiety or depression or just a sense to survive. I mean, that's a very serious thing. And I want those that are in the shadows to obviously have access, which is why it purely comes down to location for me. I don't want to see a dispensary put in a location that has no jobs and no surroundings by it, because I don't want it to saturate the economy. I think that this really comes down to the location, because if we can find an ideal location on the east side of town, then I think that that's easily the most viable option.
And why, again, is that important? Because in a lower economic end of town, that might create business opportunities there.
I think that's looking at it from a trickle-down perspective, and I don't know if a medical marijuana dispensary would really attract jobs. If anything, I think it might discourage a lot of employers from wanting to be around it. I think it's far-fetched to conclude that a medical marijuana dispensary is going to create jobs.
No, I don't think it's going to create jobs, but I guess what I'm saying is if you're okay with putting it on the east end of town where there are a lot of businesses already, I don't think any business would pack up and move away because it was open up there. Because in my understanding, it would look like a drugstore. So,
starting a business is a lot harder than, you know, functioning one and packing one up and leaving. Right, we can agree on that.
Right, but again, my question would be, if you put a business that is thriving. Because, again, this would be one dispensary for, I think it's either four or five counties. So anybody who got a prescription for this in four or five counties, not just Marion County, which is 60-something thousand people, would have to come here to that particular location to get that prescription filled. Why wouldn't somebody build a gas station or a restaurant or something there? I would think that if you have a lot of traffic, all of a sudden where you didn't have a lot of traffic, and it's a commercial area, why wouldn't somebody want to open up something?
I recognize your question, and I'm not really seeing causation or correlation when it comes to establishing a medical dispensary in an area with low economic development. I think having it in the east side of town, number one, with it being near 23, is just a much easier option. It's also coming, you can come from Bucyrus, you can take 309 straight through town and get to there if you're trying to come from Hardin County. I mean, the logistics of it makes sense, but again, it comes down to the dispensary's ability to, you know, function that the side of a town's economy. And I really worry, as a former candidate for Third Ward City Council, that they would put it back in the deep end of the west side of Marion or up on the north side of town. And I really just don't think that it's a, I don't really think it's a pragmatic approach.
Let me ask you this.
Did you have a question?
Yeah, let me put this in here. Downtown Marion has no drug stores, has no grocery stores, and is trying to revitalize itself. And a big revitalization effort is no fast food places downtown, is to create traffic. More traffic, more stores. Now, you had said that you don't think this going in would cause a business to leave. There are businesses downtown. Would that be a good place to put it? Because highly unlikely, as you say, a business would leave, but wouldn't it create a lot more traffic for those restaurants?
I never suggested a business would leave because of it, but what I...
That's what I'm saying.
More general notion, I don't think that revitalizing downtown is a good economic move. I think that the market and demographics have shifted business to the east side of town for a reason. It's convenient with 23 available and four being able to connect to 23. This is really where the heart of town is starting to become. You have an entire branch campus, Ohio State. You have a community technical college out there. You have businesses booming. I would rather see the city of Marion work to annex that area rather than work to try to revitalize downtown Marion. And certainly the dispensary, I don't know the effect of putting it downtown would be, but it could also send the wrong message to what the revitalization project of downtown Marion really is trying to do, and that's trying to spur more businesses to come downtown. I just don't think that businesses are interested in coming downtown, because I think the obvious reason is there, you can't really attract the foot traffic. Like, you can't really signify that downtown is a place for business when you have a much more convenient place out east, out towards the branch campus. I mean, Ohio State Marion's at almost 4,000 students now. Marion Technical College, I think, is close to 2,000. This is really about logistics, and I don't think a medical marijuana dispensary anywhere else other than the east side of town is pragmatic.
Well, doesn't that also cause an issue, though, because there is no way, in my opinion, that the county is going to annex Route 95, the east end of town, to the city, because they're getting all the sales tax off all those businesses beyond Kensington. So wouldn't putting this dispensary in town, sales dollars, sales tax, foot traffic, if you just put it before Kensington, it would benefit the city instead of the county, which I think is doing okay.
It's doing fine, but at the end of the day, and you're very well right, I don't see the city actually could annex. At least it wouldn't happen immediately, because the county doesn't want to lose out on the sales taxes, and I don't think they want to cede any more territory to the city. But overall, I think the employers would like to see that the city of Marion be to annex them and to have the city have more resources come their way. But again, it comes down, and I don't mean to talk in circles, but I just don't think a dispensary on anywhere else other than the east side of town is a means to go forward.
Okay, in short order here, a couple of people were indicted on Monday. Paul Manafort, former Trump campaign manager, and one of his associates. What do you think is going on here?
So, I think that we're looking at a pyramid prosecution that's going to lead up towards the president. I think that these were the first three heads to roll. I don't think that this is an indication of where the investigation has, you know, kind of like skirt off to. I think that this is really just the beginning of the end. I think that we're finally seeing exactly what Mueller's looking for when it comes to this investigation, how he plans to go after some of the big government officials and those that are working in the administration. And I think that this is a good indication that he's still looking at obstruction of justice, and how I don't believe Donald Trump himself, and I've said this on the air before, I don't believe that he colluded with the Russians, but I do believe that his campaign did. And I think they did it in a secretive and harmful way that was intended to go against the best interests of the United States, and it was deliberately designed to hurt Hillary Clinton and to help Donald Trump get elected. And because of all of this, Donald Trump recognized how dangerous this was, and he fired the FBI director who was investigating the collusion to essentially obstruct justice and to prevent the American people from finding out exactly how Russia intervened in this election. That's the part that's concerning. So I don't believe, at least I can say, based on the knowledge we know, that Donald Trump is guilty of, you know, talking of Vladimir Putin or anyone connected to the Kremlin. I don't think that's the case. I don't believe that that's how you would feel either, Scott, or in general any citizen. But what I do believe is that the campaign had a very, very clear objective to bring in a foreign adversary to disrupt our democratic election to get their candidate elected. And Donald Trump recognized this, and he fired the FBI director. And I think that that's what they're going after. But I think impeachment is certainly on the table right now. That's an option that can be weighed in the future. I'm not saying it's going to even happen within the next year, but this is going to be an investigation that certainly carries through the midterm elections next year.
Here is an interesting question for you. This is a softball. Game 7, Astros-Dodgers.
I'm going to go with the Dodgers.
I think you might be right on that one. I think the Dodgers might have the ability to pull this one out. Tanner, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I'm sure we will talk again, maybe after the elections next week, and we'll see where we are.
Well, thanks, Scott, as usual, for having me on, and I hope you have a great day, and thank you all those that were listening.
Thank you, Tanner. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tanner Hale, former candidate for city council here in Marion, in the 3rd Ward. You see how discombobulated I was? I'm going to have to brush up on the city council and races this coming Tuesday. Ooh, you're not going to want to miss that. Election coverage here on WWGH Radio this coming Tuesday, November 7th, from 7:10 p.m., that'll be at night, until all the elections are over. We will have up-to-date responses from everybody. School board, city council races, issue 2. Terry Tackett will be at the Board of Elections. Linda Sims will be at Republican Democratic headquarters. Charlie Evers, Sean Kraft, and myself will be live in the studio. You will not want to miss that for love nor money. Phone lines are open, and we have about 30 minutes left here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Looks like the World Series is going to game number 7 for the second year in a row. Who's going to take it? Is it going to be the Dodgers or the Astros? I have a feeling it might be the Dodgers, but I could be wrong. What do you think? 740-383-9944. Or if you want to talk about the medical marijuana issue, which is apparently getting great discussion here in Marion, do you think it should come to Marion, the dispensary? Or you want to talk about issue 2, which we have talked quite a bit about over the days and months and weeks here at the station, as it regards to medicine in the state versus how much the VA pays. Or we can talk about any of the city council races. What do you think about Tanner Hale's predictions about what's going to go on in the upcoming city council races? Give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Certainly would love to talk with you about any and all of those things. I know the meeting Monday night that city council held on the medical marijuana dispensary issue was pretty interesting. A lot of diverse opinions about where we're going to go with this in the state of Ohio. I don't know. Of course, I'm also amazed that it is the first day of November, that Halloween is over, and we are now marching our way toward the elections, 23 days away from Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving comes pretty early this year, and then we will be headed to Christmas in 55 days? Holy mackerel. That is hard to believe. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And also, what is going on with our president? My goodness. Two people indicted on Monday. One of them, his former campaign manager, Paul Manafort. And, now we're starting to see what's going on. Now, apparently, this is mostly a financial issue that Manafort, I guess, was tied up with people in the Ukraine and hiding money, which you cannot do. It's all very puzzling. And then there's still the idea that people think that Trump, President Trump, is not involved, and maybe he's not. You never know. I guess we will find out, but it's certain that Mueller is doing his investigation here, He's certainly taking care of it. What do you think? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Election night is certainly going to shape up to be one of the more interesting nights we've had in a while, especially locally, with all those city council races going on. You have Schauber versus Brown, who I believe were both former city council people. You have Scott Kreider, who was a former city council at large member, running against Leslie Cunningham, who's the incumbent. You have Mike Thomas running against the three incumbent at large city council seats. Holy moly, there's just a lot going on this election. We also have a treasurer of Marion City Schools School Board, where I believe one person will be going. We have one too many people running there, so one will have to go. Same thing with River Valley School Board. We have that race going on. Three people, one write-in candidate, three seats available. That's a race in and of itself that's causing a lot of interest, to say the least. And the JFK files were released last week, which, that's all very interesting. So if anybody has an opinion on any of this, give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Would love to have you on and would love to discuss this here on the program today, because these are all issues that are important to you in the Marion community, because they all will have effect in some form or fashion as we go down the line. 740-383-9944. But the Astros and the Dodgers, what a great World Series it has been. Much like last year with the Cubs and the Indians. A tremendous couple of years for the game of baseball. Just absolutely tremendous. 740-383-9944. I am so glad that people are not having blowout World Series. There were a few years there where they were just absolutely wipeouts, and one team would come in and just take over. But that is not happening this year, and it did not happen last year. And we got to see some great baseball played. America's game. Now, a lot of people feel football has passed baseball, but with the things going on in football as of late, that may no longer be the case. Baseball might be the All-American game again. So many things happen in baseball when you think about it, with Jackie Robinson and the Cubs and Hank Aaron and records, Pete Rose, that controversy, which goes on to this day. It's just all very fascinating and all just continuous, and it's what makes baseball a great, great game and continues to make it a great game as we continue on. We're going to take a quick break. Remember, the phone lines are open. Give me a call, 740-383-9944.
Everybody's talking about Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. Legendary comedian Kay Ballard perform Fast Food Song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a Chuck Full of Nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a Big Burger King, where the Styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised a wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake, Scott? Oh, it's naughty, but it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful. It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
Twist
I will do anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. Look, well, just let me talking and I keep going.
It's now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Join me.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here on this All Saints Day, Wednesday, November the 1st, 2017, 39 minutes past the hour, and we're waiting for you on the toll-free line, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, is it All Saints Day? You know, I could be totally wrong about that, because I'm not even sure, to be honest with you, what All Saints Day means. That's something, it is All Saints Day. Okay, I was right. All Saints Day, also known as All Hallows Day. Let's see. Does anybody know what All Saints Day is about? Give me a call if you do. 740-383-9944. And actually, we have a special guest coming up here in just a moment. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this quick break with our special guest. Tuned to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio.
Stop, listen, find yourself a chair. You're about to listen to the best show on the air. You'll love Charlie Evans. Can't wait to hear Scott Spears. You cherish Mary Ann Michaels. Quite a lady, that's for sure. So listen to the Exchange Club for topics close to you. Discuss local topics, national topics too.
Alexander Hamilton is going off the $10 bill in 5 years. So long, Alexander. And he is going to put a woman on there on 2020 on the $10 bill. And this summer, they are going to poll people in the United States to see who should go on there. But it will be the first woman on the currency in like 120 years or something.
Well, the women that they've come up with wouldn't really make a bill very good looking. I mean, the women did a lot of good. I mean, don't get me wrong, but they're kind of...
Well, wait a second. What are you saying?
If they put somebody like Marilyn Monroe or
something... Go ahead and say it. You don't want Eleanor Roosevelt's mug on the $10 bill.
Well, and Rosa Parks, and who else?
Won't they airbrush them before they put them on the bill?
I mean, can you imagine flipping out a bill and there's a... ugly face looking at you.
Now, wait a second.
Charlie.
Wait a second, Charlie.
Well, I think it's about time that a woman gets on some...
Yeah, if they put somebody good-looking on there.
Oh, dear.
Who? Somebody that is famous. Somebody
they have to be dead.
Everything from drug lords and things that we can share. We'll even discuss the presidents and Hillary Clinton's hair.
What do you make of Trump, Charlie? You didn't jump in. You did the wife thing there, but
he's an egotistical jerk.
What do you really think about him?
But he knows enough to make millions. I guess we can't put him down for that.
We can't put him down
because we don't know how much he owes.
He would not have a chance. I'm sorry, at an office. Now, he's got a lot of money
that
he can put behind him, but how many people would vote for him? I don't think very many.
So stop, listen, and find yourself a chair. You're about to listen to the best show anywhere.
Every Friday, 12:10 until 1 p.m. Supported by Kroger right here on WWGH 107.1 FM. streaming live at WWGH1071.com.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here, 43 minutes past the hour. Our special guest may or may not be along, so we'll leave the toll-free line open for you, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if you have an opinion about anything, with 17 minutes left in the broadcast. Now, here we go. All Saints Day is Christian celebration of All Saints Day and All Souls Day stems from a belief that there is a powerful spiritual bond between those in heaven and the living in Catholic theology, and the day commemorates all those who have been attained the beautiful vision in heaven. It's a national holiday in many historically Catholic countries. Okay. In Methodist theology, All Saints Day revolves around giving God solemn thanks for the lives and deaths of the saints throughout the church universe. Okay, so that's what All Saints Day means. Depends on what religious background you come from. Are you feeling especially close to anybody who has left us today? Is that a day you're supposed to go to the cemeteries? I don't know. All Saints Day. Now you know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, the other night, I was telling somebody about the Gypsy Queen in Marion, and I won't go through that whole story right now, unless somebody would like me to. But I was telling somebody about the Gypsy Queen in Marion, and they had no idea. They really thought I was pulling their leg about her coming here and being buried here and so on and so forth, as the story goes. And they actually had to ask somebody else. He's making that up. And I said, no, it's true. Absolutely true. And it's interesting how we have this great history here in Marion that some people just don't know about. So if you ever think somebody doesn't know something, you should tell them, because we hope that stories like that will not get lost as time goes on in translation. Gypsy Queen is one of my favorite Marian stories. Has anybody else ever heard anything about the Gypsy Queen or any other stories about Marian that are interesting? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a ring and we can certainly talk about it. But it's always, to me, been one of the most fascinating stories about Marian. And a lot of those Harding stories that are out there, did he do this, did he do that, what did he do, how did his life end, was he killed, was he not killed, what was his relationship with Florence, did he have affairs, you know, I think pretty well at this particular juncture most of those people have probably left us who were around during that time. So I think most now are probably secondhand and kind of hard to tell what is fact and what is fiction. Back to the Gypsy Queen. I camped out there once, legally, got permission, about 10 years ago now. It was just fascinating because it was one of those things, again, where people did not know about the story of the Gypsy Queen. And all these people showed up and brought their kids to visit the grave because I happened to be staying there that night. So it just, to me, is fascinating. And that was in winter, by the way. It was on the date of her death, I believe. And I'll never forget, it was a Saturday, and I had been on the air that morning and told people I was going to do this. And I'll never forget, somebody called in, and I can't remember if they said they were a gypsy or not, but they told me not to do it because the gypsies would not come around if people were there. and didn't say their name. Just kind of, it was kind of an ominous call, to be honest with you. Very strange. Very strange. It's interesting, the things you do. I don't know if I would ever do that again, but it was highly interesting because it got that story out to a lot of people. And that is what I feel was most important about that in the long run. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. You know, Gypsy Queen's story is quite interesting.
Yes.
But, you know, there's still a lot more history in Marion than that.
Oh, certainly.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people don't know it. We had a person that ran for president 5 times that came from Marion here.
Absolutely. Socialist.
Yeah, it used to have a marker for them in there behind where Ian Cooper used to be, where the clinic is now.
Mm-hmm.
His home site where he was born and raised.
Norman Thomas.
Yeah, and that's who it was.
Yeah, it's interesting. He was a socialist back in those days, and now we think of socialist as a very bad thing.
But, well, it is and it isn't. There's good in both, good and bad in both in it. But also, a lot of people don't realize it, but, you know, all the shovels that they used to build the Suez Canal?
Yeah.
It was built here in Marion.
Absolutely. I don't think it's interesting because there were a lot of people, a lot of generations that are growing up in Marion now who were not here prior to 1980. And if you go back to the early 80s, 70s, 60s, and 50s, Marion was a big, big-time industrial town.
Yeah, it was. We were the first in Ohio to have a five thing that turned our trains around.
Absolutely. Well, people don't realize we had a commercial airline here at one point.
Yep, we did.
I wish, you know what's interesting? People write about old Marion, you know, in the 1800s and early 1900s. I wish somebody would do the book on Marion from 1940 until 1980, because you would learn about the Union riots and Tecumseh and the space shuttle crawler and Norman Thomas and all that sort of stuff that was going on in Marion, because a lot went on in that 60-year period that people tend to forget about.
A lot went on before that. We, there at Hotel Harding, not only was one of Al Capone's lieutenants stayed there, but Al Capone stayed several nights there at the Hotel Harding.
Well, and a lot of people don't realize that Richard Nixon, when he was campaigning for president, came through Marion in 1968, spoke out of the back of a truck in downtown Marion.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of history here in Marion.
A lot of history that's glossed over, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, do you realize that the Pittsburgh Penguins was here in Marion before they went to Pittsburgh?
Now, I didn't know. I knew there was an ice hockey team.
They were the Borden Penguins at the time.
They were the what?
Borden Penguins.
Oh. Now, I know about the Marion Barons, but I didn't know about that.
That's what they were called when they were here, was Borden.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know the Marion.
Because my stepfather worked for Borden's at the time, and they gave him tickets And then when they needed a bigger coliseum for the or whatever they play in, I shrank the city and the county along with Borden, or wouldn't help Borden's build one.
Now, what year would that have been? What years?
They left about 1960.
Because I know there...
59 or 60. Charlie Evers can tell you better than I can what year.
Well, I know Charlie knows about the Barons. Now, the Barons played at the Coliseum, but I didn't know about the Bordens. Now, I know about the Barons.
Well, Bordens owned them.
Oh, Bordens owned the Barons.
Yeah. And then when they went to Pittsburgh, or when they saw them in Pittsburgh, they changed it to the Penguins.
Oh, okay.
That's like the Iran football team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were one of the first ones that had pro football.
I know
when they had the NFL and the AFL.
You know, I know it's interesting that the hockey team that was out at the Coliseum, nobody knows whatever happened to the ice that was under the floor and the machines that were used to make that ice. Apparently,
they left the rest away.
See, Charlie said, well, I think Charlie talked about that one time, that it just all disappeared. The equipment all just disappeared.
As far as the boating, they left it rest away.
It's a shame. It's a shame.
One of the guys that was managed the workers out there told me about them leaving it rust away.
Just kind of let it go.
Yep.
So many things used to happen at the Coliseum. Now we basically just...
Oh, we used to... They used to have the ice capades here.
Yeah.
Yeah, out there at the Coliseum.
A lot of stuff.
And I just kind of disappeared, just like Crystal Lake Amusement Park disappeared.
Now, I think that was mostly a financial thing, unfortunately. You know, the roller rink lasted until the 70s, and then it burned down.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. Now, the lake is still there. I went and looked at the lake once, and it you can still see where it was a pool, because you can see the steps that go down into it, but... It's on private property now.
Yeah, they had the Rick Spartan City built there.
Yeah, it's interesting, all the stuff that has went by. There was a couple that was married on roller skates at the Crystal Lake Roller Rink, and I interviewed the lady one time who was married there. I think she gave me a picture of her getting married on skates. And that's interesting stuff.
Yeah, George Casotas and Charlie Evers and a bunch of other people can get together. They could really put together a history of Marion by itself.
Well, they were certainly here during that time.
Yeah. Well, I was too, because I'm not... George is quite a bit older than I am, but Charlie isn't that much older than I am. But because I even remember going to the baseball game against the Jets and the Toledo Mudheads and that they used to play here. And that was out there at Lincoln Park. I can remember going to those.
It was a good time, that's for sure.
I can remember going to watch wrestling up there at the Coliseum when it was really big, and they had Andre the Giant and Don Eagle and Dusty Rhodes and all them when they were young and skinny.
you could have a fun time in Marion.
Yeah, you used to. That's the reason, you know, I've been kind of talking to different people about a band shell. And a lot of them think that out there at Sawyer Ludwig in there in that wooded area that they're not using would be a good place for it. And to start the tour season for Marion, have just a Marion historical tour in that weekend, like they do with the Popcorn Festival at the end of the tour season.
It wouldn't be a bad idea. Hey, we're about out of time, but I thank you for calling in.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, it's good talking to you, Jeff.
And Scott.
Charlie, you guys will be hearing more from me about that band and shell and everything.
Oh, no problem. Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye.
You know, that's good company. Jeff, Charlie? I don't mind being called those names. But it's Scott. Fortunately or unfortunately. Thank you for calling in, though. Telephone lines are open for about another minute. Do you have a memory to share or something you'd like to say? If you can say it in a minute, give us a call. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's been a great day. Don't forget election coverage coming up next Tuesday, November the 7th, 7:10 p.m. until the elections are over. Linda Sims, Democratic and Republican headquarters, Terry Tackett at the Board of Elections, Charlie Evers, Sean Kraft, and myself live here in the studio. That is Tuesday, November the 7th, 7:10 p.m. until all the elections are over. Live election coverage. You won't want to miss that for love nor money. Or miss the program tomorrow. Charlie Evers will be on in the morning, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. We start the morning with the Adam the Computer Guy show, 9:10 a.m. till 10 a.m. And I'll be back tomorrow, 12:10 to 2. Until then, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Ellen Howard.